Parshas Vayetze is the beginning of Parshas Vayetze contains within it the vision that Yaakov Avinu has as he leaves Eretz Yisrael of the Sulam Mutzav Arza V'Reishem Magia Shemaima. That whole experience of Yaakov Avinu going to sleep, seeing the ladder extending between the earth and the heavens, and receiving the seeing Hashem above that ladder, and receiving the promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the assurance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Hashem being with him all the way. It's of note how Yaakov Avinu even finds himself on this trip. You see, at the end of last week's parsha, Parshas Toldos, Rivka finds herself in a situation where she has to engineer Yaakov Avinu's escape. Yaakov's in danger. Yaakov Avinu has angered Esau very, very significantly by taking the brachos, which were planned to be given to Esau. And so she calls Yaakov and she says, "I've heard your brother Esau, he wants to kill you. You've got to get out of here. So go run to Lavan Achi Charana, to Lavan my brother to Charan." Problem is, he has to take leave of his father. So what does she do? She goes to Yitzchak. She's not going to tell Yitzchak that your son Esav, who presents himself to you so nicely, actually wants to kill his brother as soon as you die, right? Wouldn't go over so well. So instead she says to Yaakov, Yitzchak, something else which is also true, equally true. She says, "I'm disgusted by the Benos Ches, by the local women, and if Yaakov marries one of these, you know, there's no Alom Alichayim. What do I need to live for?" And so she's confident what's going to happen is that Yitzchak is going to call in Yaakov, which is exactly what he does, and he's going to say to him, "You know, you shouldn't marry one of these girls. You should go to Lavan, your mother's brother, and marry somebody." So very cleverly she engineers that Yitzchak sends away Yaakov exactly where she thinks Yaakov should go, for a completely different reason. Brilliant strategy, right? In fact, as the Beis HaLevi says in the beginning of our Parsha, with this you can understand, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayela Charana. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, and he went to Charan. Why the double expression? Rashi asks the question. Why doesn't it just say, "And Yaakov went to Charan"? I mean, we know where he was before. Why does it have to say, "He left this and he went there"? So he says, because when people travel someplace, sometimes they're traveling because they need to leave where they are. And sometimes they need to travel because they want to get there. In the case of Yaakov, he was doing both. He had to leave, that was why his mother told him to go, to get away from Esav. And he had to go to Charan, because that's why his father told him, didn't tell him to get away from here, but he said, "Go find a wife there in Charan." So it was both a yetziah and a halicha. He was both leaving and trying to get someplace. It was a double purpose to the trip. But think about it. It's really interesting. You know, Rivka's going to say, "You know, Yitzchak, he really can't marry somebody from here." What would you expect Yitzchak to respond? Yitzchak says, "You know, when I was younger, my father said the same thing. He said, I shouldn't marry somebody from here." So what did he do? He sent Eliezer. And he said, "Go get a wife for my son Yitzchak. I never left. I never went out." Right? I didn't even have a website. You know, it's just like he sent Eliezer, got him a wife, and brought it back. So what does she say? She's going to tell Yitzchak, "I'm not interested in Yaakov marrying somebody from here." What would be the predictable response? "Okay, fine. So we'll get him a wife from someplace else." But that wasn't the predicted response. And that wasn't the actual response. The actual response was that Yitzchak, who never left to get married or for anything else, said, "Oh, Yaakov, you better go. You better leave. Go get a wife there." What's going on? Isn't that interesting? Right? She knows that he's going to respond differently, exactly the way, in fact, he responds. So we understand that Chazal say, well, Yitzchak, it was specific to Yitzchak that Yitzchak was not able to leave Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was an Ola Tamima. Yitzchak was this pure offering. And just like an offering has certain confines of Kodesh within which it has to stay in order to preserve its Kedusha, its sanctity, so that's what Yitzchak needed. Yaakov wasn't a Korban. Yaakov was never offered on an Akedah. So he didn't He didn't need to stay within Eretz Yisrael. The same rules did not apply to Yaakov Avinu. What does that even mean? We have to understand what that even means, that would be the difference between Yitzchak and Yaakov. So that's one significant issue that perhaps is central to what we have in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Because that's what the beginning of Parshas Vayetze is about. It's about Yitzias Yaakov min ha'aretz l'chutz l'aretz. In truth, the entirety of Parshas Vayetze is one neat package about Yaakov Avinu's life outside of Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Toldos, Yaakov is in Eretz Yisrael. At the end of the Parsha, he's told to leave. Parshas Vayishlach, next week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu is coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Vayetze begins with Yaakov leaving, ends with Yaakov returning. He even has the same crew sending him off and welcoming him. At the beginning of the Parsha, he sees Malachim coming and going, up and down the ladder. At the end of the Parsha, the last two psukim of the Parsha are that Yaakov was traveling and he encountered Vayifku Ubo, in fact, similar word which is found also in the beginning of the Parsha, Malachei Elokim. He encountered angels. And Yaakov, when he saw them, he said, Ah, Machanoim, two camps. Says Rashi, two camps. The same two camps that he saw when he came. When he came, he saw the angels of Eretz Yisrael going up the ladder and the changing of the guard with the angels that were to accompany him in Chutz La'aretz coming down. When he came back, you guessed it, he saw the angels of Chutz La'aretz going up and the angels of Eretz Yisrael who were going to now pick up, you know, the new shift for Yaakov, you know, coming down. This whole parsha is about Yaakov's life outside of Eretz Yisrael. And the first section of the Parsha, the first Aliyah of the Parsha, is about Yaakov leaving. It's about Yaakov leaving, about Hashem's promise to Yaakov as he leaves. It's about Yaakov's own commitment to Hashem around, surrounding his leaving, before he even finds himself at Choron, at the well. So the idea that we have, the given, that Yaakov can leave, that Yaakov maybe should leave, that Rivka knows that Yitzchak is going to tell Yaakov, okay, go, you don't have to stay here for this, go and find yourself a wife, this is part of what we have to understand here in the beginning of the parsha. Yitzias Yaakov min hamakov. The fact that Yaakov Avinu can and does comfortably, significantly leave Eretz Yisrael. What's the significance of being in Eretz Yisrael? What's the significance of leaving Eretz Yisrael, of the fact that someone is indeed going to leave? You know, Chazal, the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos, says something very shocking. It says that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is dome lemi sheyesh lo Eloha. And a person who lives in Chutz La'aretz is dome lemi she'ein lo Eloha. A person who lives in Eretz Yisrael is like someone who has a God, and a person who lives in Chutz La'aretz is like someone who doesn't. Right? Congratulations, here you are, you're in a shul, where you daven, where you learn, and the Gemara says, you're in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have a God. Right? So what exactly does that mean? Right? The Gemara even cites a verse to support it. David HaMelech said that when you have to go on the run, they were telling me, Lech avod Elohim acherim. You have to leave Eretz Yisrael saying, go worship other gods. Worship other gods, what do you mean? Because they're telling me to leave Eretz Yisrael. If I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael, so I am essentially going to be like as if I'm worshipping other gods. What does that mean? What does that mean to say that at such a stage, or as a result of that, that he is going to worship other gods, that somebody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is as if they don't have a god? What is that expression? So, let's learn Ramban. The Ramban talks about this many different places. One of the classic themes of the Ramban that he focuses on throughout his commentary. But here, I would like to bring the allusion which the Ramban says to this. Right before Sheni in our Parsha, as Yaakov Avinu is expressing his pledge about Hashem, you know, Hashem will be with me, he'll give me food to eat and clothing to wear. V'shafti v'sholem el beis avi, and I will return in peace to my father's house. V'hayo Hashem li le'elokim, and Hashem will be for me le'elokim. Says Rashi, what is v'hayo Hashem li le'elokim? Says Rashi, she'yochol shmi alai mitchil v'yatzayf. First, as Rashi, something a little enigmatic, not for us to discuss today, is that Hashem will be for all of my family. That unlike my father, my grandfather Avram, who had a child Yishmael, who was out of the picture, and my father Yitzchak, who had a child Esav, who will be out of the picture, if Hashem will be with me, and I'll have all of my children in the picture. That's v'hayo Hashem li le'elokim. That's the first part of Rashi, whatever that means. Excuse me, that's the pshat of Rashi. The Ramban says, no, that's not what it is. It's not Vayah Hashem Lila Elokim, as Rashi understands it, part of the conditions that he's placing on Hashem, if Hashem will be for me Lelokim, but rather, it's the nether, it's the commitment. Im Oshuv El Beis Ovi, Evod Hashem Am Yuchad Beretz HaNefcheres, B'mokom Evan Hazel Shetiyah Lila Beis Elokim, Hashem Maiti Asamais. He's saying, if Hashem does this, then I will serve Hashem here in this special land. That's why Hashem li le'elokim. And concludes the Ramban, v'yesh b'inyan sod, and in this matter there is a secret, mimasha amru, kol ador b'chutz l'aretz domek k'mishein l'oloka. If you live in chutz l'aretz, as if you don't have a God. So he's saying, if I come back, Hashem will be for me le'elokim. I will be, in this way, engaged with Hashem. I will be engaged with Hashem directly. That's what Yaakov Avinu says. So that's the sod. That's the secret. What's the deciphering? What's the deciphering of the secret? So the Ramban writes about this at greater length in an important passage in Parshas Acharemos, where he says as follows. Says the Ramban. Hinei b'chutz l'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, afa pisha kol Hashem anichbad, even though everything really belongs to Hashem, ein tahara b'shleima, b'avur ha-mishorsim ha-mayshlim aleo. The purity there is not complete. Because of the mishorsim, because of the servants that serve, that rule over it. What are the mishorsim, the servants? These are the, what we would call in our language, we would call them the ministering angels, the angels that serve. In other words, Hashem sort of delegates mastery of those other lands to other forces that He created and that He empowered. And indeed, the nations that are out there, they get preoccupied with those. They see themselves as to some degree being in the hands of these others. V'lokach yemer ha-kosuv Elohei kol aretz yikorei Hiu Elohei o Elohim ha-moishel al ha-kol v'yifkoi b'sev al tzva ha-morem ba-morem. We view Hashem as being the uppermost God who is above, in terms of the chain of power and command, of all of these other forces that may be there and exist and govern in these other lands. However, Hashem ha-nichbad Yisborech Elohei Elohim b'chol ha'elo. He's the power behind these other forces throughout the world. But v'elohei Eretz Yisrael shinachlas Hashem. But he is directly involved in Eretz Yisrael because that's his portion. That's the difference, says the Ramban. Elsewhere, Hashem is there, but he appoints, so to speak, others to take care of the direct involvement. In Eretz Yisrael, there is no barrier. There is nothing between him and that which is down here. And so writes the Ramban that the idea of Kol Hador b'chutzlar daima k'misha ein l'aloha is this idea. Why? Because he is indeed saying, outside of Eretz Yisrael, you have this barrier between you and Hashem. There are other forces that Hashem puts in place that are somehow there to manage the issues of mankind. In order to have what the Pasuk refers to elsewhere as Eine Hashem Elokecha Ba, Eretz Yisrael is unique in that the eyes of Hashem are upon it directly all of the time, without intervention, that is specific to Eretz Yisrael. And so concludes the Ramban here. That's V'amu b'taysefta v'avayduzar hari v'emer v'shafti v'sholem el beis avi v'yo Hashem li le'elokim. That's our pasuk in our parsha, where Yaakov Avinu says, I'll come back in peace to my father's house, and Hashem will again be the direct force over me. That's the picture which you draw. Now, this sounds very strange, I would expect. This sounds very unusual and different. We're talking about God, and yet God has these other things to some degree that he delegates to. But yes, as Ramban himself writes, it's the same way we view the difference between the Jewish people's relationship with Hashem and the nations of the world's relationship with Hashem. What we say every day, a couple of times a day, is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. That's unique. Hear Yisrael, hear O Israel, Hashem is our Elokim. Why? Because we say, we believe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, has the direct involvement with the Jewish people. He does not delegate in any which way to forces of nature or any other force that exists, but ki yida'ativ, I'm involved with them directly. Other things, Hashem doesn't show the same ahava, the same love, the same immediate connection with other nations. And the same way it is true, this division exists between the Jewish people and the nations. The same division exists between the land of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. That there's a more direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists there in Eretz Yisrael than exists elsewhere. So Yaakov Avinu notes this. And to a degree, this is a big part of the dynamic which we have here. There's a very interesting debate in the Rishonim about whether what we're having here in this story is the classic expression of something which we have, an idea which we have regarding the tzaddikim, regarding the righteous, or whether this is not at all that. We have a verse, it's in Tehillim Tzadi Aleph, it's a famous verse, Ki malochav yitzav eloch lishmorcha b'chol derachecha. Because his angels, he will instruct on your behalf to guard you wherever you go. Right? It's a verse, we say Tehillim Tzadi Aleph is a psalm which is said as we accompany somebody to their final resting place. Right? He will instruct his angels to accompany you. They'll carry you right on their backs, so that you, or on their palms, however you translate it over there, so that you won't stub your feet on rocks or the like. You know, beautiful, protective. He's sending his angels to take care of you. What it says about the tzaddik. So look at our parsha. Hashem sends the angels. He has the angels watching over Yaakov Avinu. Right? Says Rabbeinu Bachya. This is Hashem is instructing his angels to protect them. Ramban says no. It's interesting, Rabbeinu Bachya deviates from Ramban in this. Rabbeinu Bachya very often follows the Ramban. He says, no. He had the angels, but what does it say? It says the angels were going up and down the ladder. Vinei Hashem nitzav alav. Behold, Hashem was standing over the ladder. Which means he didn't just send angels. But he was watching, exactly. He was watching it himself. He wasn't allowing it just to be in the hands of the angels. But he was involved in it directly. He was involved in it directly. So we have this difference. And the words of the Ramban ring very important. Vinei Hashem nitzav alav ayomar. And the whole phraseology of the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is not that I'm going to send my angels to be with you, but what does Hashem say? V'inei anochi imach. Behold, I will be with you. Anochi is a very strong term. Anochi is the real me. Behold, I will be with you. Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. I will guard you wherever you go. Vashifa isicha el adab azayis. And I'll bring you back to this land. Because I will not abandon you. Ad asher asisi asher asher dibarti lach. And Yaakov, when he responds, he says, Im yeh Elokim imadi, if God will be with me. Voy Hashem li le'elokim. Hashem will be for me for a God. There's an expectation, a promise of the direct and immediate involvement of Hashem with Yaakov Avinu. Here, and not just here, but in fact, in his whole journey, even as he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael. Even as he's going to leave Eretz Yisrael, to some degree, there's an expectation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being with him, of Hashem going along with him as he goes on this way. How is that? Because I want to share with you something which it's a little different. I haven't seen anybody who makes this point, but I think it has a lot of merit. I think it has a lot of merit, excuse me. Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov could. If you're a nice Jewish accountant, what's the difference between living in Eretz Yisrael and living outside of Eretz Yisrael? No, you're an accountant in Eretz Yisrael, you're an accountant outside Eretz Yisrael. So you know, okay, come on, it's not the same. Living in Eretz Yisrael, not living in Eretz Yisrael. It's different. Yeah, but you know, maybe your day-to-day is going to be pretty much the same. If you're a shepherd, what's the difference between living in Eretz Yisrael and living outside of Eretz Yisrael? You can be a shepherd inside of Eretz Yisrael, you can be a shepherd outside of Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make that much of a visible difference. Again, of course, excuse me, you understand that when you walk four steps, it's different when it's in Eretz Yisrael than when it's in Chutz Laretz. What I'm talking about in terms of tangible, noticeable, you know, just differences in what you do. And if you're a farmer, your life is completely different than Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And I'm not just talking because, oh, a farmer in Eretz Yisrael is dependent on the rain, so you have the spiritual thing. No. There's such a thing called mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, agricultural-based mitzvahs, mitzvahs which are dependent on the land. There's a whole bunch of mitzvahs that only apply in Eretz Yisrael, don't apply in Chutz Laretz. What are those mitzvahs? Those are mitzvahs which are based on the land. You find them all in an order of the Mishnah called Seder Zroim. The first of the six orders of the Mishnah is Zroim. Zroim means seeds or plants. You have the rules of Truma and Maser. You have the tithes, the stuff which is given to the Kohen. You have the first fruits. You have the rules of the first 3 years of the fruit tree. You have Shemitah. All of these things deeply affect Kiloyim, even the full laws of Kiloyim, of mixed plantings. All of these laws deeply affect the practice of the farmer in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, by and large, they do not apply. If you're a farmer, being in Eretz Yisrael and being outside of Eretz Yisrael is a world of a difference. If you're a shepherd or you're an accountant, it doesn't make as much of a difference. Yitzchak was what? Yitzchak was a farmer. Why? Where do we find it? In last week's parsha, Parsha's told us, the pasuk says that when Yitzchak was in the land of Avimelech, by Yizra Yitzchak Boretz Ahi, Vayimtza Bashon Ahi Me'esh Orim Vayivarchei Hashem, Yitzchak planted and he found in that land Me'esh Orim. He had huge agricultural success. According to Rashi, translates the pasuk, he had 100 times the expected yield from the land that he worked. Yitzchak was a farmer. Okay, we know that different times, you know, Yitzchak maybe had sheep as well, like his father, but Yitzchak did farm Yaakov did not. The pasuk says, in contrasting, as we learned in last week's parsha, Esav was an ish, yodea tai ish sada, he was a man of the field, and Yaakov was an ish tam, yoshev o'alim. And I think I told you last week how the Ibn Ezra interprets simple pshat. What does it mean? He was a plain man who lived in the tents. He says, because Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd, and shepherds live in tents, right? It's an intense life, right? They have to travel from, they have to travel from place to place. They don't build themselves a house. They pitch a tent. They graze. The stuff all gets munched up. They take their tent. They move on to someplace else. Yaakov Avinu was a shepherd, as opposed to Esav, who was a farmer. Yitzchak was also a farmer. Yitzchak, as a person who worked the ground, for him to leave Eretz Yisrael would be a radical change. Yaakov Avinu, who didn't work the ground, who was a shepherd, for him to leave Eretz Yisrael would not nearly be that kind of a radical change. Right? That's the simple real assumption, assuming, again, I guess you'll say, well, the Torah wasn't given yet, did these mitzvahs really apply? Okay, I understand, we all understand that the Torah wasn't necessarily applicable in the form which it is now. But the fact of the mitzvah Sakliyas Baretz tells you that if you're working the land, it's a big difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. And if you're not working the land, it's not the same difference. It's not the same difference. And it would seem that it would not be a coincidence that Yitzchak, who works the land, must stay in Eretz Yisrael. When we look back at the first division of labor, of working the land between Cain and Hevel, the two sons of Adam HaRishon, there, what does the pasuk describe? Cain was an Oved Adama, Hevel was a shepherd, right? We discussed this last week, right? Correct, did we? Yes, right? Cain was an Oved Adama, Hevel was a shepherd. Cain worked the land. He said it's cursed. That was what he was happy to work with. Hevel wanted to have nothing to do with it. If it's cursed, he wanted to stay away from it. Yitzchak worked the land. Yitzchak worked the land. What's he doing working the land? So for him to work the land, he works the land in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, where the land is not cursed in the same way that it is anywhere else, of course. Yitzchak works the land. He stays in the land. For Yitzchak, who's going to attach himself to the land, for him it's going to be that much more essential that he be there in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu, because of the fact that he is a bit above the land, it is possible that for him it may not be the same. It may not be, as big a contrast for him to be here or to be there. Because his faith was not so intertwined with the land itself. It was not so intertwined with the land, with the earth itself. Chazal tell us, based on the verses in this parsha, that indeed Yaakov Avinu's faith was not so tied with the land, not just because he was a shepherd. Avram Avinu was told that he would have Eretz Yisrael. Go, walk the land, because this is the land that I'm going to give you. Yitzchak Avinu was told, I'm going to give you the land that I promised to Avram your father. But to Yaakov Avinu, what does Hashem say? Look what he says in this week's Parsha. In this section right here, in this week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and he says, look, I'm the land that you're lying on, I'm going to give you. And then he says, V'hoyozaracha ka'afar ha'oretz, your children will be like the dust of the earth. U'faratzta, and you will break out, spread out. Yoma v'kedma v'tzafayna v'negba. To the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. V'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpachos ha'adama v'zarecha. And we bless through you all of the families of the earth, through you and through your children. Says Chazal, Yaakov Avinu had what we call Nachala B'li Mitzarim. He had a portion without boundaries, an unbounded portion. It says, V'chalticha Nachlas Yaakov, I'll give you the portion of Yaakov, the Navi promises. Person who celebrates the Shabbos, who's ma'aneges ha-Shabbos, who makes sure to have a pleasurable Shabbos. Onek Shabbos. It says, V'chalticha Nachlas Yaakov, says the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yod Ches, says anyone who's ma'aneges ha-Shabbos, he is granted a nachla b'li mitzarim, a portion without boundaries. Why? Because it says, I will give you the portion of Yaakov. Not Avram and Yitzchak, where it was the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov's portion is without boundaries. Transcends any boundaries. What does that mean? Yaakov is not talui ba'aretz. He's not dependent on the land. He plows the way for the Jewish people when we are not necessarily in the land. Even if we're not in the land, it's still our portion somehow, through Yaakov Avinu. Now, it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaakov Avinu that the land outside of Eretz Yisrael was going to belong to him, was going to be his. He's saying, the land that you're lying on, I will give to you and to your children. But ufaratzta, you will grow forth. Yomav akedmo, you will grow forth. And you will go forth in other directions. It's a bracha that goes beyond what Avram and Yitzchak were told. Their bracha was confined to Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu's was to somehow go beyond that. It wasn't tluya ba'aretz. What I'm suggesting to you is that it's not because, again, Yaakov is given a broader portion than Eretz Yisrael. He's given land beyond Eretz Yisrael, because he's not. When Yaakov Avinu goes to the house of Lavan, does he become the owner of the land? Not at all. He's a shepherd there. He's even im Lavan garti. I lived with Lavan. He'll say, when he recaps Parshas Vayetze, in the first words of Parshas Vayishlach, he says, I was a guest there. I was a guest by Lavan. And when Yaakov Avinu is later going to go down to Mitzrayim, the next time Yaakov's going to go into Golos, what do? They go down Lagur Sham, to be strangers there, not to become the owners of Eretz Mitzrayim. He's not going to own anymore. They're going to live in Goshen. Why are they going to live in Goshen? Because they're shepherds. So what is Yaakov's expansion? What is Yaakov's expansion? What is Yaakov's ability to somehow go beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael? How is it that he says that indeed he's going to have a connection with Hashem of the kind that's normally reserved specifically for Eretz Yisrael? Vayu Hashem li le'elokim. Isn't that for Eretz Yisrael? I'll come back here. Vayu Hashem li le'elokim. On the one hand. But on the other hand, Hashem is saying, the kind of connection which is normally reserved for Eretz Yisrael, that I'll be with you and I will guard you every step of the way, with Yaakov Avinu, Hashem promises him that he's going to have that outside of Eretz Yisrael. How does this work? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, I want to recap here exactly where we are, because I feel maybe too much or too little. Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, is leaving Eretz Yisrael. He has this magnificent vision where Hashem comes to him, with malachim, angels to accompany him. But as we saw, as I mentioned to you from the Ramban, it's not just with angels accompanying with him, it's Hashem accompanying. And the idea that we normally have, that I learned with you from the Ramban in Parshas Acharemos and allusions here, that the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is usually that in Chutz La'aretz it's with angels, it's through messengers, it's through others, but in Eretz Yisrael it's with Hashem specifically. The whole beginning of our Parsha, in large measure, seems to be saying, no, Yaakov, with you, I'm going to be with you here, I'm going to be with you there. I'm with you all the way. we couple that together with the fact that Yitzchak would never leave Eretz Yisrael, but it was clearly an assumption that Yaakov would. Rivka knew that when she would propose to Yitzchak, that Yaakov couldn't marry a girl from here, he would send her to Chutz Lartz, even though Yitzchak never left. So what we said was, well, a point to identify there is that for Yitzchak, whose livelihood is somehow tied up with the land, obviously his connection to the land and which land is much more significant. Nobody's going to say that there are mitzvahs atlias ba'aretz outside of Eretz Yisrael. The agricultural, the land-based mitzvahs don't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So for Yitzchak, it would be a wrenching to take him out of Eretz Yisrael. For Yaakov Avinu, who's detached from the land to a certain degree, it's not so wrenching. So put those two things together. And what do you have? You have that Yaakov Avinu is able to maintain the connection with Hashem Yisbarach directly, even when he's outside of Eretz Yisrael, because he's not in the land outside of Eretz Yisrael. He's not seeing his fate as being drawing from the land outside of Eretz Yisrael. If that was the case, then indeed he wouldn't be in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He would be in the hands of that unholy land, Temeya Eretz Achuzaschem, as in the language of the Pasuk. It would be in the hands of that land, and that land's not. But because Yaakov Avinu is to some degree not consigning himself to the land, so therefore, when he's outside of Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have that barrier. He doesn't necessarily have that barrier. And with that, Yaakov Avinu is mechadesh to us, creates for us the possibility of something called going into Golos as expansion. Going into Golos as expansion. Now, those of you who know me a little bit, I'm not so big into praising Golos. I'm not personally a big fan of Golos, would love to see it end anytime. I'll take it. Personally, nationally. But there's an expression here of Ufaratzta. The expression of Ufaratzta, you know, that you will spread out, you will expand beyond, is not a negative statement. When Hashem comes to Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu is leaving Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't tell him, poor Yaakov Avinu, you have to leave Eretz Yisrael, I can't even send with you the same malochim that you have here. He's not saying that. He's saying, go. Ufaratzta. Yaakov would convey this to Yosef and he would say, I got a bracha beyond my parents. Like he said, Birchais Avicha Gavur al Birchais Hairai. Go get him. Yaakov would be told in the end of Parshas Vayigash, when he goes into Golos again for the last time in his life, he's going to die in Golos. Hashem comes to him and says, oh, don't worry, God, going down to Mitzrayim. Kilugai Gavla Simchashon. That's where you're going to become a great nation, in Mitzrayim, in Golos. So he says, you know, you view it, oh, I'm going into Golos. Don't be afraid. Golos is going to be a growing experience. L'gad Golos, Simchashon. How does that happen? Yaakov, evidently here in this parsha, is given the seeds for a bracha that can allow us to find how can Golos ever be? How can there ever be an element of bracha in Golos? Or more than that, or I should say rather maybe even instead of more than that, I should say, or less than that, how can you make it that going out into the Golos is not a write-off? Is not, okay, forget it. By Yaakov it says, I'll make you even greater there. Ufaratzta certainly gives the impression of being even greater there. But it certainly is taking the edge to some degree off of the dismal difficulty of the Golos. Now, it doesn't change the fact. Please, it doesn't change the fact that Yaakov Avinu says to Hashem, oh, really? I'm going to go out there and you're going to be with me? Well, Hashem, I want to promise you, I want to tell you something. If you'll be with me, and you're going to take care of me, and you're going to be bread, and you're going to be food, and you bring me back here, then, da-da-da-da-da. What does that mean? He doesn't say, oh, really? We're expanding? Right? How are things in Wisconsin? Maybe I can have a place there. Right? Yaakov Avinu didn't say that. He said, if you take care of me in Golos, and bring me back. And when he went to Golos to Yosef HaTzadik, and he settled down in Mitzrayim, and Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shvesrei Shana, he was living in Egypt for 17 years. Chazal even say, wow, he was finally living, you know? Like Yaakov, with all the difficulties and misery that he had in his life, one chapter leading to another, he finally had 17 years of tranquility. Where were they? You got it. In Mitzrayim. And what does Yaakov Avinu say? Calls Yosef, he says, when I die, get me out of here. Take me back home. So it's not like Yaakov Avinu in his expansion is becoming this cosmopolitan Jew of the world to which Eretz Yisrael is not home and not fundamental, not the anchor, not the place. He says it now and he says it then. Hashem says, Anoichi Eredimcha Mitzrayma, V'anoichi Alcha Gamaloi, I'll go down with you to Mitzrayim and I will bring you back. And like he says in our parsha, I'm going to bring you back to this land. We're not defying in any which way, denying in any which way the place of Eretz Yisrael as the home ground. Ha'adama hazayis, this earth. But there's something called going out that can be an expansion. How does it happen? What is it? The Gemara really says it. The Gemara says that in the silver lining of Golos, there's an idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and he sends the Jewish people out into Golos so that we're able to draw all the good things that are there in the Golos back. We're sent into Golos to bring people from the nations that will be exposed to us to be joining the Jewish people and come back with us. The Gemara compares it to a tzlochis shel plaiton, to like a jar of a beautiful fragrance that if you keep it in one place and you keep it plugged, that nobody's going to be able to smell it and to enjoy it. But if you open it up and you spread it out, then everybody can sneeze. I'm sorry. Then everybody can enjoy it. So there's positive elements that are spoken about here. But with Yaakov Avinu, it's a very specific thing that Yaakov Avinu was about. And that's V'hoya Hashem li Leilokim, is the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be directly involved with him every step of the way. It's not about a public relations campaign for the Jewish people. It's not about spreading belief in Hashem. That's not where it is with Yaakov Avinu. One might say that, okay, well, in Mitzrayim, they sort of ended up doing that in a very unusual way, right? But when Yaakov was in the house of Lavan, hardly. You know, when they left, they stole some Avodah Zarah from Lavan. And Lavan comes running back to them, give it back. Right? You know, it's not like Yaakov was busy there spreading the belief in Hashem. It doesn't say, Vayikra b'shem Hashem on Yaakov Avinu. But you know what it does say about Yaakov Avinu? You know what it does say as we progress in our parsha? It says about Yaakov Avinu that he says, oh, Lavan, you want me to stay? Lavan says, yeah, I want you to stay. I want you to stay. You tell me the amount of money you want, you name the price, and it's yours. I had so much blessing from you. Whatever you want, write your ticket. And Yaakov Avinu says, no, I don't want anything from you. I'll stay. But I'll stay on condition that I can have my own business. Why? Because I don't want to get from you. I want to get from him. I want to get from Hashem. Yaakov Avinu wants to be directly, always directly, directly, directly under the hands of Hashem. when we go back to Cain and Hevel, when we go back to that core dispute between these two, so we say, okay, this one chose a career where they had to work the ground so much. Wanted to work with the ground was cursed. And this one chose the shepherds where he didn't have to do it so much. You know, Rabbeinu Bachya notes that when we call a person who works the ground, we call him Oved Adama, like a slave of the earth. He's working for the earth. A shepherd is called a Raya. We alluded to it a little bit last week. He's a leader of the sheep. He's on top of the sheep. But look at what happens with Cain and Hevel. Look what happens with Cain and Hevel. Cain brings an offering to Hashem that Hashem doesn't respond to. Hevel brings an offering to Hashem that Hashem responds to. So Cain's disappointed. Right? Why is he disappointed? He's disappointed because he wanted Hashem to respond to his. He wanted Hashem to come down and eat up his korban. It doesn't seem that way. Why? Because that's the same Cain who's busy hiding from Hashem. When he goes and he kills Hevel and he buries him, Hashem comes to him and says, where's Hevel? He says, what do you mean? I don't know. What are you talking about? See, Cain is really about a land where what you work is the land and you don't work Hashem. You forget about Hashem. You're going to have your own system. Hashem, Hashemayim Shemayim Hashem, you've got the heavens. Horus Nosan Livnei Adam, we've got the earth. Oh, we send you a gift on occasion, you know? But fundamentally, you have the heavens and we have the earth. And Hevel said, the earth is nothing. Havel Avolin, right? That's what the Ramban says, where the name Hevel came from. It's vanity. The stuff down here, Kinyan Adam Hevel Dama, right? It's nothing. Hevel says, I have to bring Hashem down here. And he brings Hashem down to the earth. Hevel believes and affirms the involvement of Hashem here. That's what Hevel is doing. And so, Hevel says, is that difference between an earth, a land, a place here, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware constantly, involved constantly, in every step of the way, as opposed to a land where we sort of exist. We do our things, we serve whatever it is that's there, whether we worship the land, we worship all the other delegates, and we recognize that there's Hashem up there someplace. We recognize that there's Hashem up there someplace. We put all kinds of reminders in our mind for Hashem. But we don't give him our best as if he's getting it. As if he's here to have it, to receive it, like Hevel did. The trick of Yaakov Avinu was that because he didn't buy into this earth, the cursed earth thing, the earth that becomes an object of our own service by itself, is that indeed wherever he went, he was able to maintain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. V'yo Hashem li l'Elokim. All the way, he could transcend the earth so that he was therefore sort of like above that. And he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with him. That's where Ufaratzta. That's where you have a chance of making it beyond Eretz Yisrael. You know, in Eretz Yisrael, it's easier. In Eretz Yisrael, remember, we're dependent on the rains. We always have to see Hashem in our lives. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the place of the ladder that connects the earth to the heavens. Easy. In so many tangible ways, it's easy to be able to do that. Once you get outside of there, and you get into a world with its own earth, with its own rules, it's so easy to miss that, to lose that connection. Yaakov Avinu transcended it. He went out there. He was still a shepherd. He was still somehow above seeing the land as the source of his sustenance. He recognized, right, whatever your father will tell me, it doesn't make a difference. He can change the reward which he promises me 100 times, it doesn't make a difference because Hashem is providing it for me, as Yaakov Avinu says later in our parsha. To somehow be above it. But we talked last week about the differences, a little bit the complete opposites between Yaakov and Esav. Oh, Esav leaves Eretz Yisrael because he wants to be involved with the earth that's removed from Hashem, not the earth that's part of Hashem. Yaakov Avinu is going to have to go back to Eretz Yisrael because he knows that, you know, ultimately we're supposed to make Hashem's place on this earth, and I have it only by levitating a little bit above the earth, by being a shepherd. But when he goes out, the way he maintains, the way he has uforatzta, the way he has kilagoy gadol asim chasham, is because he doesn't go out and then play by the rules of those lands that he now lives in. Still only aware and only practicing loyalty towards Hashem Yisborach. That's where Uforatzta comes from. That's why Hashem Lilei Lekim. That's how Hashem remains for him for a God. I think for us it's a very practical reality. You know, the Golus, the difficulty of Golus, the distraction of Golus, is to a large degree, to the extent that we buy into it. I've shared with you before, with some of you before, how the Sachachar of the Shem Yishmol says from the Zohar, he expands what the Zohar says, that the Jewish people were only subject to Shibud Mitzrayim, to be enslaved by the Egyptians, because in their perspective, to some degree, when they went down there, they said, we have to go down there because we have to eat the bread of the Egyptians. They're the ones who have the bread. We have to eat their bread. Ooh. So then they see themselves that their fate is in the hands of the Egyptians. So what happens? Their fate is in the hands of the Egyptians. But if instead they would have gone down and they would have seen it like Yosef HaTzadik saw it. What do you mean? We're here to eat the bread of the Egyptians? No. The Egyptians are only given bread to feed you. That's why they had all these years of plenty. That's why I'm here managing this whole country to survive the famine. Why? So that you'll have food. Right? That's why Yosef refused to take money from his brothers even before he revealed himself to them. He just put the money back and he never made an issue out of it. They're going to pay for food? The food is here because of them. The food is here for them. If we would see it that way, we wouldn't be enslaved. Yosef wasn't enslaved to the Egyptians. He was enslaved to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. To the extent that we buy into it, that's the extent that Golus isn't Uforatzta. Isn't that you're going to spread there. Golus isn't you're going to become a great nation there. No. How do you become a great nation when you go and you're subject to others and to other things? You only become a great nation and you go after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov Avinu phrases it, as Hashem phrased it. Yaakov says to Hashem, if you're with me all the way, if you're with me all the way, then this is a deal. Then it's a Uforatzta. The trick to a successful Golus is not to see yourself in the hands of the Golus. When you work the land and you come to a land that's so foreign, it's impossible, you can't. When you're somehow above the land, like Yaakov, you can understand you can flow through the Golus and still Hashem all the way. And then it's Uforatzta. Then it's expansion. We should be zeicha to see. V'hinei anachi imach u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech v'ashivaisicha el ho'adam ha'zais ki loy ezavcha ad asher asisi es asher tibarti lach. We should see Hashem with us all the way, guarding us, bringing us back to the land, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that He will not leave us until He fulfills that which He promised.